We are in Tehillim chapter 15. Okay, I've put online a page of a book that I am just coming out with. It says at the top chapter 28, yeah, righteous lived by his faith. Okay, I'm going to try to understand a Gemara at the end of the Seches Makos that very famously expounds our chapter 15. After five chapters of theodicy, when David asks very harsh questions about God's ways, and a Kohelis type of treatments of man's experiences on earth. Okay, we're in Tehillim chapter 15. David gets right to business when he says, Mizmor le David Hashem, mi yagur ba'alecha, umi yishkon b'har kodshecha. Okay, who gets to reside in your holy place? Now, this is a question that is not only asked here in chapter 15. We have this kind of question quite often in Sefer Tehillim. Look with me in chapter, if you will, in chapter 24. We say that quite often. Okay. Look in chapter 24. It says, you look just right in the beginning of the chapter, verse 3. Mi ya'alev ahar Hashem u'mi yakum bimkom kodesho. Who gets to ascend the mountain of God? Who can rise up to his holy place? Niki kapayim uvar levav ashalona salashav nafshi lo nishpala mirma. Right, he has clean hands, meaning probably means that he deals business practices. He has a pure heart. Right, bar means purity, and this is used a lot in Tehillim. The Hebrew word boris, which means that it's like a cleansing agent. Right? So is what this means. A clean heart.
In right? Israel, it's the name of a detergent.
Yeah, yeah. Borax, you know, that's root as a is used to something as a cleansing agent. So his heart is clean. Ashalona sala shav nafshi velo nishpala mirman. And moves on to whatever comes out of his mouth is pure, is true, nothing vain coming out of his mouth. Okay, it doesn't notice that the categories, the characteristics of the person who gets to ascend God's mountain are these good reputation. It talks about that he keeps kosher Shabbos, but it talks about his good reputation in business and that his word is true. There are many other places in Tehillim that mentions this kind of thing. The question I leave for you for the moment is, when it says Mishkon, right, Mi Yahaleh Bahar Hashem, what does that mean? People can go to Aliyah L'Regel. You don't have to have these characteristics to go to God's mountain. Right? It's a mitzvah three times a year to go up to the mountain. So who is this? So we have Sukkim, for instance, Shifti Beveis Hashem Mimei Chayai Lachzos Genom Hashem Olvakeh Bahi Chalo, right? Bishafti Beveis Hashem L'Orech Yomim 23. I just read the first book is in the David Hashem Ori. So may I suggest that when the author talks about residing in the house of the Lord, right? I'm not sure if it means a household. I mean, someone who can get so close to God as to derive an excitement, a rapture, someone who just by the closeness to God, it does not have to be in God's house. That could be this room, your own private quarters, that getting into God's house, Beis Hashem L'Orech Yomim, I don't think it means that he's hoping to learn in the Heichal. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it means that he's He's looking to get into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaShem could be your Beis Medrash, a place where you reach spiritual height as a result of your spiritual aspirations and accomplishments.
Say, could you pair this with Sefer Malachi and others where Hashem says, I don't want you here if your hands are not clean. So it could be that I allow you to come if you meet the standards.
Right, so that's standard fare for the Nevi'im Achronim, like Yirmiyahu, who says, you come to this place with dirty hands, better not to come. I'm not sure if you're arguing for saying that this house that he's talking about, the Har Pesachim, you don't have to aspire. You can want to come to the Beis HaMikdash under any kind of circumstance, and maybe what he's teaching us is that if you're so inclined, just make sure that you go there with clean hands. But okay, anyway, this pasuk, this perek, is given an outsized role in Chazal. Okay, I did not give you the whole Gemara. Zach, maybe you can come with this, but I did give you a chapter in my book that's just about to come out. It's a book on Ben Adam L'Chaveru and Ben Adam L'Makom. The thesis of the book is that it is more pleasing in God's eyes that we commit ourselves to Ben Adam than Ben Adam L'Makom. Why do I say that? I don't mean to make a hierarchy of mitzvahs. The Gemara, the Mishnah, and Pirkei is simple. No, I think I give you two cards. Simple mitzvahs, and there's no such thing as a simple mitzvah. Every mitzvah is important in its own right. But if I may use an example of a parent gives commands to his children. He gives chores. You have to be home at a certain time. And if I'm going to give you the car, you have to bring it back by a certain time. Those are mitzvahs bin adam l'makom, so to say. Mitzvahs have in store for you, between me and you. But then I also expect you to have mitzvahs bin adam l'chavero in the family. Be brother, be kind to your sister, don't be cruel to each other. I expect each of you to get along. I want you to, you know, right? What hurts a parent more? Did you miss curfew? Or that you excluded your brother from that event that you went on.
Wow.
Would everybody agree? Okay. So I'm suggesting here that it's a Kishbaruch Hu much more when the Jew slanders another Jew than when the Jew doesn't keep kosher. So I have 42 chapters of this. You're looking at chapter 28. All right. And then in the conclusions, I have another 20 proofs. To wit, I'll give you just a quick example. Are you familiar with a medrash that says that when Moshe stopped the two Jews from fighting, right after he smote the Egyptian, he saw two Jews fight, two Hebrews fighting, and he stopped them from fighting. And then they said, "Who are you? Yesterday you killed someone. Now you're a hypocrite. Now you're telling us not to fight each other." Alargenia tol merkasher arachdas hamitzri. So then it says, "Vayiro Moshe v'yomar achino dahadavar." So Rashi cites Shmos Rabbah that the thing he was afraid of. He said, "Now that I see the way the Jews fight and the way the Jews
fall,
slander. Now it's not so strange to me why they suffer in Galus so much." Wait a second. You read to Yechezkel chapter 16 and 20, and you'll see that the Israelites in Egypt descended to the lowest levels of tumah, avodah zarah, and everything else. And you're telling me that now you wonder, this is what makes you realize why they suffer. So, not the avodah zarah, you get it? All these other things, you know, okay, all right, what can I do? You know, Hashem will forgive. But slander? No. Now I see you deserve it, okay? You get the point. Okay, so this sheet says that so several biblical authors broke down the 613 mitzvahs to fewer essential points that encapsulate the mitzvahs in their entirety. Remember from which Masechta does this? The end of
Brachos, right?
Makos, the end of Makos. It says there are 613 mitzvahs, And certain prophets encapsulated the mitzvahs down to different numbers. First one was 11. That's our parak. So let's read the parak and then we'll see what we do with it. Leif Tamim Upoel Tzedek. Well, it sounds like the chapter 24. I mean, it doesn't say who gets to reside in God's holy mountains, someone who's scrupulous with kashrus, someone who keeps Shabbos, who knows all the melachos, someone who keeps Taras Mishpachas. It doesn't get into this list, but these do. Oleh Tomim, he walks in purity. Walks here means that now you see why the Jewish law is called halacha. It does not translate well. Right? Law is chok. Right? We don't say chukei avelus. We say hilchos avelus. Okay? Because it's a practice. It's a halicha. It's a derech. Okay? Olech tomim upoel tzedek. He doesn't just walk the walk. He talks the talk. He walks the walk and he acts the act. Poel tzedek. He acts out righteousness. V'dover emes b'levavo. And he speaks truth in his heart and his mouth are the same. Lo ragal al lashono. Right? Ragal is from the lashon rachil. Lo telech rachil. Yudha makes those two sounds in your throat. They come from a similar part of your throat. Good. They're gutturals. So this is where Rashi makes the point, actually, on the pasuk Lo telech rachil in Parshas Kedoshim, where he says that there are different parts of your mouth that create different sounds, and any two letters that come from the same part of your mouth can interchange in Hebrew. Okay. Labials, letters that you have to use your lips to say. You can say g without touching your lips, but you can't say p or f or b or v without touching your lips. So these are. So that's what Rashi says, that these interchange. Okay, let's go on. So that's rogal al shino is like lo rachal. It didn't look rachil. He didn't behave like he didn't speak slander, right? Lo rogal al shino. Lo asola rehu ra'a, never did anything bad to a neighbor. V'cherpa lo nasa al krovo. That's the point. Means that no relative ever of his ever said, oh, I'm ashamed. I'm not here. Your relatives are proud that they're related to you. Nivzebe inov nimos, this is important, is that he doesn't sweep under the carpet what is bizayon. He despises what should be despised, right? He doesn't kiss up to things. Besirei Hashem yichabed, and on the other side of the coin, he gives proper honor to those who deserve it. Nishba lahara. Whoever, please mute. Okay. Just muted everybody. Okay. All right. So. Nishba lahara v'lo yamir, he would take an oath that's true even at his own expense. In other words, he's going to tell the truth no matter what. If he bumps into a car, he's going to leave a note on the windshield. You know, here's the number to call. So, kaspo lo nasan b'neshech, he never loans on interest. Now this one already starts to get into. It's certainly been a dam l'chavero. But it's now starting to get into a ritualistic thing, right? He never lends his money on interest. He doesn't take any bribe. Now, these last two, I mean, the Shabbos, if he was doing all those other things, of course he's not taking interest. And of course he's not taking a bribe. What are these last ones? Okay, it's the innocent, and you're allowed to take a bribe against the guilty? So these last two, the Gemara Darshans, that well beyond the letter of the law. There are certain types of interests that maybe you're allowed to take.
Oh, I see. Meaning
Rabbi Yehuda's interest, there's certain interest on one side of interest, there's interest from a Gentile. So he doesn't take any heter, no interest, no matter what the heter you may find from one town, another position, never takes any. Okay? And the shochad is a bribe even to do what is right. Someone gives you money. I'll give an example a Rebbe goes to his Talmud and says, listen, this guy, he knows he owes me $1 million and he's denying it. And I only have one witness. So I want you to walk in with him. Remember the Gemara in Shavuos. So, and I'll give you a cut, a 10% cut if you do it. You know, so in other words, he's not taking anything, anybody, even to do the right thing. Okay. And he's saying, I'm never going to ask you actually to testify, but just when he sees you walk in with the other witness, he's going to say, oh, he has two witnesses. Okay, I better confess. So no, you're giving a false impression. All right. Okay. So now what does the Gemara mean when it says in Makos that David encapsulated the whole Torah? However, you just got this big favor here. You just learned chapter 15, which the Gemara says encapsulates the entire Torah. Really? Where's Kashrus? Where is the mitzvah to appoint a king? Where is tithing here? Where I don't get this. What does it mean? Okay, and then when you see further, did everybody have this chapter 28? I hope it was online for everybody. I gave you all of the different Gemaras because it says after David encapsulated the Torah with these 11. Then Yeshayahu encapsulated the Torah with these 6. Then Micha, a contemporary of Yeshayahu, encapsulated the Torah down to 3. Right? Turn the page. And again, or in 2, until Chavakuk came and said, the tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. Okay? What does this mean? So I quote here of Yosef Albo. Yosef Albo very famously explains this Gemara. Okay. We come to an understanding of God's ways through the mitzvahs. Right? We want to know, what is God? How can this little amoeba here that's talking to you, that's here today and food for worms tomorrow, come to know what God is? How can we understand God? Lo yirani adam v'chai. You can't see God and live. How are we supposed to understand who God is? He says through his mitzvahs. He revealed his will to us. And through those mitzvahs, we can come to understand God. So he says, every generation comes to a realization of God's ways in its own unique way. We have our leaders, we have our rabbanim, we have our chachamim to tell us how to be kadoshim, how we can fulfill the asisim eset toba hayashar b'nei Hashem. What's the problem with that pasuk Ramban says? Torah says, do the right thing. But it doesn't tell us what that is. So you can say, do the right thing. Just keep this whole Torah and you'll do the right thing. No, Ramban famously also says that you can keep the entire Torah, every mitzvah of the Torah, not violate any one of them and still be a rogue. You've got to be schooled. You've got to be learning. Naval Bishus the Torah. Okay? So what is this Gemara here saying? Okay. So every time and every generation, every circumstance has to apply the Torah as its blueprint and tell you like the drash. If you hear, you should be kovea itim la Torah, right? Listen to the drash of this statement. Kovea itim la Torah. The problem is that there have been many Jews, especially in the last 300 years, who are kovea Torah le itim. They explain the Torah to fit their times. Oh. It's, in other words, the time is that they fit into the Torah. They have to reconstitute the Torah. Now, I will admit that there are certain things the Torah allows, not commands, but allows, that changing social situations make these things not only anathema, but apprehended under the Torah allows, maybe begrudgingly, but allows polygamy. You know what Rabbeinu Gershon says about that. Torah allows slavery. It's absolutely also. Not just in terms of Dina, but Jews haven't been practicing slavery for a long time. I'll be Dina in Torah. Well, since the Korban, you need Yovel to have the that Yovel since Patrician, right? Are there some examples of poorer Jews in this America South that had slaves? I don't know. I do know Jews use the Bible to say that slavery was permitted, and some to say that slavery was forbidden. But what I do know is that there's certain social norms that the Torah allows that for our time we'd have to say is despicable. Right? And the Torah itself does this. Avraham took matzevos. In Devarim, in Parashat Shoftim, the same matzevos are usher. And Rashi writes, these were allowed in the time of Avraham, and now Hashem doesn't like them anymore. Right? We just have to, we cannot independently make this determination. It's just be done with Das Torah. Right? Simple. Understand this. So koveya itim la Torah means that in every generation we have to koveya the times to fit the Torah. Right? However, given certain social changes in the time of the Tanakh, even in the time of Rabbeinu Gershom, there were many men always about living 7, 8 years, 10 years. And men dying in battle and hunting accidents, and there was so many saved men, so we had to have some woman. It's a social contract that women sign, that they would rather be married to a man who already has a wife or two than to not have anyone to give them any children at all. Right? So when that situation changed under the guidance of Rabbeinu Gershom, there was a chair placed on us. Okay. All right, so when Rabbi Chanina ben Akasha says, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezako Tzitz Yisrael, L'pichach Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvos. It's the same Gemara there that talks about this, 613 mitzvos. So God wanted to confer merit upon Israel, so he gave them Torah and mitzvos in abundance, right? So each and every mitzvah can play a part. This mitzvah does it this way, this mitzvah does it that way. Each mitzvah brings us closer to an understanding of Ribono Shel Olam. Okay? So that in each passing generation, it's possible that we can encapsulate what we need to follow in order to have an understanding of Hashem with fewer and fewer and fewer mitzvahs. Just one, right? It's Tzadik Be'emi Miso Yichya. David had 11, Yeshayahu had 6. Three, and then two, and then all the way down to one. Okay. The list is here for you. You can see it. And the list is interesting. Do justice, love kindness, walk with humility. These are all refinement of character. This was surely what the Ramban had in mind when he talked about how to be a Kedoshim, the Nova Bushes, the Torah. Okay. Okay. Right, so Chazal considered that the clear path to acquiring a legacy of Torah is that the Torah, you are someone whose life is guided by Torah, is chesed, righteousness, kindness, integrity, right? Help relationships with Benedum Lachadero. What's the pshat here? This is part of the shir. And one gets good piece to tell them, but do not misconstrue my words. I do not hereby mean to say that mitzvahs Benedum Lamakom are not important. I just mean to say that mitzvahs Benedum Lachadero are more important. Why? Because every mitzvah in Torah is Benedum Lamakom. It's just that some are also Benedum Lachadero. So while eating kosher and keeping Shabbos is only ben adam l'makom, not slandering, not slandering is Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaRevah. Okay. Get it? Okay, so without getting into a hierarchy of what mitzvah is more important, either based on the amount of times it's mentioned in Torah or the punishment for that mitzvah, I'm just saying is that when something is Bein Adam LaChavero and Bein Adam LaMakom, okay, God gave Moshe in this week's parasha two tablets. Right? The first side, the first five, have a lot more words in it than the second five. In fact, it has seven times more words in it. Right? Do you remember number six, seven, eight, two words? Okay. So as such, since the Torah said the stone was cut through and through, right? Which tablet weighed more? Yeah, the Bein Adam LaChavero weighed much more, because it's all stone. The side with Moshe was carved through, mostly air through the letters that you can see through, right? So as such, it may be that the Torah is telling us that the Bein Adam LaChavero weighs more heavily on us. Right? Now it depends on your upbringing. You know, if you what's funny, never missed a day of tefillin, right? For me, to not wear tefillin tomorrow is I would sooner not breathe air tomorrow. Okay, how can I not wear tefillin tomorrow? I wouldn't. Right? I'll go without food. Like I can't go without tefillin. So. At a certain point of your life, when you use something, right? Tefillin, I did not wear 2 days since my bar mitzvah is the day of my
surgery.
No, I wore tefillin in Basikin. Yeah, 2 days in a row. But no, my parents passed away, and it was supposed to be a sting. That's the whole point of it. The Kohen going to a cemetery for his parents. So, but hopefully you get to the stage where not speaking Lashon Hara is just as comes just as naturally and just, right? So, but when you get to keeping kosher, it becomes so second nature. It gets like, I don't mean to say it gets rote, but it's easier. The mitzvahs Bein Adam LaChavero, however, are way more heavily on us. So easy to jump to the wrong conclusion. It's so easy to compete and feel and you know, gain a bit upper hand on someone and so I think that's the message from this week's parasha, is that the Torah didn't need so many words to tell us how to treat each other, because I want the stone to weigh more heavily on you. See that it's going to be a lesson that we have to treat each other and how to follow. I'm like, keep Shabbos is okay. It's a bit of a tircha to try to get someone to look back and make sure. But I am so used to that. It's like second nature, big deal. I don't take it for granted, but the Bein Adam LaChavero, that's a harder thing. So that's with all these.
Rabbi Schwartz, but very interestingly, that Jews don't teach their children certain very firm rules. I was raised in a Goyish society, and there were still remnants of nobility laws. They were very firm. You see, Jews never had anything like that. You meet the same society, everyone behaves absolutely differently. You see, in the same situations. Goyim, funny enough, right? You had to stick to it, whatever. I know it very well. For example,
okay.
And it is very characteristic. No teaching, like in a Goyish school. For example, you don't have to lie. I remember very well. I learned at the University of Leningrad, you could not lie something or say wrong or give a promise which you could not fulfill, you see, to your people, you will be thrown out very quickly from this society. There is no such thing. I came to Eretz Israel. Everyone behaves absolutely differently. Dress the same. But what is it? Very funny. Well, sorry for the interruption, you see.
Okay, but Lamaisa, this is what the Gemara is saying, is that our Perek Tehillim was the first attempt, because it's the earliest one of the six attempts, was the first attempt at in someone encapsulating the Torah and saying, follow these general principles, and you're on your way. So, okay, this is it. This is this chapter in Tehillim is a very popular source for a particular eulogy. But if you don't have some, you know, you have to speak about someone and he's a decent person, but you know about him, just read through this chapter and say, oh yeah, he did this, he did that, he was, okay. And then that's what you can do. Okay. One of my first eulogies that I ever gave for my wife's uncle, that was about 35, almost 40 years ago. And that's how I planned to do this. And his rabbi, who spoke earlier, did it. So I'm sitting there like dumbfounded. Oh my goodness, I'm going to get up there and say the same thing. So I quickly come up with something. But it's exactly what he did. Yeah, chapter 15. Okay, now chapter 16, which I'm just going to briefly begin. This is a very important chapter because it's liturgically common. This is the chapter that we say, and maybe read through it for homework. This is the chapter that we say in a house of mourning, if it's a, or at a funeral for that matter, if it's a day where you can't say a eulogy or can't say tachanun. Right? So in the house of a mourner, you say chapter 49, when Matzeach Bnei Korach. So if it's Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah or Purim, so you can't say that, or all of Chodesh Nisan for that matter, you can't say, you don't say chapter 49, you say this instead, chapter 16. And if it's a funeral, and it's a funeral Rosh Chodesh, Chol Hamoed, Purim, right? Or even Lag BaOmer, Chodesh Nisan.
Or Tu Bishvat,
yeah. Yeah, Tu Bishvat is a non-Tachanun day, as you know today. So if you're at a funeral on one of these days, you don't say, instead of all that, you say, you don't say the special Kaddish, you say the regular Kaddish, you don't do the seven stops, but you say Mechtan Ludavi. So our task the next time, and I'm so sorry to tell you this, it's very painful, but I have a wedding next Monday and the following Monday. I'm sorry, I have two Mondays in a row, and I'm gonna please look at the website for what can do. If I can slip away maybe for a short, like at 8:15 in the middle of the wedding, but these things tend to be so noisy, you can't slip away anywhere. And the band is playing so loud that everybody, every single place in the whole room is crazy loud. So, but Chad and I will come up with something and we'll publicize it. Okay, so we will have to see what is it in this chapter 16. So it has one of the most famous psukim in all of Tehillim, in verse 8. It says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, ki mimini bal emot. God, I place before you, I place me at all times, even from my right side, which is my common, you know, I'm always looking to my right, I know that I won't falter. Now, the Ramah actually begins his glosses to Shulchan Aruch with this pasuk. It says, everybody should have a shiviti, you know, you should have one, something on you, you know, a small one, a big one, and you have these four words of us, shiviti Hashem l'tamid. So who's going to sin if we feel that God is always walking with us? So what's interesting, though, less known than this, is that the last words in the Shulchan Aruch is a pasuk that has the word tamid in it also. What is the last? Not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim begins, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. And the last word is Tov Lev Mishke Tamid. Happy heart is always has a drink in front of him. Fine, everybody. Fine. That was my water from before. So, Tov Lev Mishte Tamid. So, the Ramah starts off with, God is always in front of me, and I always have a drink in front of me. So, I, you know, it's sort of like I'd rather have a full bottle in front of me than a full frontal bottle. Anyway, so what he means to say is like Sukkot Koheles, Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha. You know, just even in a book like Koheles, there are lots of tzukim like that. Is that if you have a joyful heart, you'll find that the God could be so much more readily found in front of you. Ain't Shechina sure? Lamitochatzlus. Yaakov didn't bring down the Shechina because of his melancholic behavior over the loss of Yosef. So this perek is fascinating. We're going to find all these kind of preparation for the proper making our bodies the proper kli to receive the divine, which is just what we need at a Beis Olam, at a house of mourning, on a day where we can't see the regular mourning, many regular rituals. So this is the parak. So this is how we're going to learn it. How chapter 16 of Tehillim helps to prepare ourselves to be the necessary kli, the best kli we can be to receive the divine. Okay. However, that'll be, that's a few weeks from now. All right, I have a wedding on the 13th, the 20th, the 27th is our next time together. Okay. If there's something, please keep an eye on the website. If I can do something at the wedding, I'm going to ask the families if there's some place I can get to, maybe an office or something. I'd love to do that.
Rabbi Schwartz?
Yes?
I had an idea.
Yes?
Yosef accuses his brothers of being meraglim. And do you think that you just, it came to me when you were saying that you can switch those letters for rechilos, that would fit together nicely also.
Yes. I think that's, and he probably accused them as some kind of a midah keneged midah because they were always accusing him.
Right,
of being,
right.
Being the, you know, the spy for the father. And see, the father sent him to go out to Shechem.
To find them.
But they might have thought that he's just coming out to spy on us again. Right.
That's what came to me when you said, made that connection.
Great. Torah is amazing that you can really, you know, now you go here, they go there, and take it there, and take it here. Have a good night, everybody.